Welcome to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. My name is Marcus Cole. Now, before we begin today's show, I want to remind you that once you've had a chance to check out our program, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating and follow us wherever you get your podcast. That helps you stay up to date on all the latest content from us, and it helps us get the word out to others and let them know that we're providing valuable information for soccer players, coaches, referees, and parents. On the phone with us today is Lauren Link, registered dietitian, director of sports nutrition for Purdue University Athletics, and author of The Healthy Former Athlete. Lauren, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I want to go ahead and dive into our subject matter today. Obviously, with this pandemic going on and soccer being suspended here in our state specifically for the time being, and of course across the nation, folks are dealing with certain situations of uncertainty and things along that lines. I want to be able to provide our athletes and our parents some information about nutrition during this time, and we certainly appreciate you coming on the show. Now, first thing I want to go over is obviously we have our athletes by this time here at the end of March. They're about a month into their season. Things are starting to get rolling. So, you know, their nutrition hopefully is starting to get a whole lot better. But now that we're in a suspension of soccer play here in the state, we have no training. We have no matches. We have not, you know, getting together with friends and things along that lines, being very limited in what we can do. What should athletes be thinking about as far from a nutrition standpoint when they may have less activity than they're normally used to?
Yeah, that's a great question and hard for athletes to manage in general. So especially right now, it can be really challenging. So the first thing I would say is that for all our athletes, we always recommend taking kind of a balanced plate approach. I think it's a really easy way to think about it to help them kind of visualize it. And so if I was talking to a soccer player that is in maybe the normal, you know, day-to-day practice, games, etc., I would recommend at least having their plate balanced with thirds. And that's a third of their plate coming from carbohydrate-rich sources, things like grains, you know, rice, pasta, bread, starchy vegetables like potatoes and corn. Then a third of their plate coming from protein-rich sources, so whether that's meat, seafood, plant-based sources like beans, nuts, legumes, nut butters, and then the other third would be from fruits and veggies. So that's kind of our baseline, if you will. And I always talk to athletes about, you know, our plate is going to ebb and flow throughout a season, whether it's in season versus off season, maybe it's you're playing 90 minutes, maybe you're playing none. Different things will affect how our plate should look. But one of the biggest things I always try to get our athletes to understand is that we should never lose one piece of the plate. So even in a situation right now, which are totally unprecedented times where we're all of a sudden moving far less than we would normally be, I wouldn't tell my athletes, you know, okay, well, let's go ahead and just nix the carbs because we're not doing as much. Now we should probably have less carbs since that's an energy source and we're just not burning the same amount of energy. But I never want them to remove it completely. So I think part of it is helping the athletes understand, like, what is my activity level right now? I think for a lot of people and a lot of athletes, it's going to be lower for sure. And so we talked about the thirds of the plate. I would probably change that a little bit to say, okay, let's make closer to a half of our plate from fruits and vegetables if we can. And we can talk a little bit later about, you know, how realistic that is given the circumstances right now. But if we can get half our plate or so from fruits and vegetables, and then a fourth of our plate from carbohydrate, a fourth from protein. And that, again, can ebb and flow. If people are able to remain pretty active, maybe they're going on runs, you know, they're doing some kind of body weight or limited strength and condition or strength building activities. If they're able to do some of that stuff, they might be more of like a thirds of their plate, a moderate intensity. If they're still able to work out a lot, you know, comparatively to when they would be practicing all the time or playing games, then maybe that carb goes up even more to a half or so of the plate. But I think that is probably not so realistic for most right now.
Now, I know some people are dealing with issues of maybe they have parents that are unemployed currently at the moment. Maybe there's some limited access to stock within grocery stores in certain areas and things along that lines. What are some good staples that we can provide our members of things that maybe they want to keep in the house that would help them from a nutritional standpoint for these soccer players?
Absolutely. So that kind of was to my point with the fresh fruits and veggies. Of course, that's not going to be realistic for all people right now, whether it's access, whether it's financially, whether it's just logistics of getting it and keeping it. So I think the first thing I would say is that, you know, canned fruits and veggies, frozen fruits and veggies sometimes get a bad rap because, you know, fresh is king. But really, canned fruits and vegetables and frozen fruits and vegetables especially can absolutely play a role in our diet on any given day, and especially in a situation like this. So, you know, if you're able to get some of that shelf stable fruits and veggie type products, that's awesome. You know, canned fruit is great. If you can get it in like a light syrup versus a heavy syrup, that's going to cut down on the added sugar a little bit. But again, any fruit is better than no fruit, in my opinion. Dried fruit can also be a really nice option to keep, you know, in your pantry and what have you. When it comes to, and I would say the same for vegetables, as far as canned vegetables, that can be an awesome source to get on the plate and pretty cheap and keep well. Frozen are awesome sources and really pretty comparable to fresh from a nutrition standpoint. And so if you're able to get your hands on some frozen veggies, frozen fruit that you could throw in a smoothie or in your oatmeal or cereal or you name it, all of that is a really good addition from the fruits and vegetables side of things. And then to think about things that keep well in a pantry, potatoes are a great carb-rich vegetable that keep pretty well in your pantry. You know, things that'll last a little bit longer, like carrots, apples, oranges, versus your things like berries, for instance, that might go bad pretty quick, or leafy greens that might wilt and go bad pretty quick. So I think people can be thoughtful around those and include not just fresh, but also canned and frozen. And then on the other, you know, our other pieces of our plate, which are also really important, protein is always some of the more expensive things that are going to end up in your cart. But there are so many really good proteins that are really pretty cheap and keep well. So, you know, canned tuna, canned chicken, beans, whether that's, you know, buying the dry beans, if you're familiar with how to prepare those, or just canned beans, you know, canned black beans, baked beans, things like that. Really good source of carb and protein, pretty cheap. They keep forever. What else could they grab? They, you know, like grains are really great. So pasta, rice, all kinds of things in that category, quinoa, couscous, are going to be things that keep well and don't, you know, run up your grocery bill too much. So I think those could all be really good options.
I know you probably have maybe the same pet peeve that I do, being a registered dietitian. You know, some of the stuff that you see out there on social media, on the internet, and you just roll your eyes at some of the claims that they make and stuff. And I'm glad to hear you say in regards to the frozen fruits and stuff, because like, there are certain foods that I have a go-to that I do for my kids, that's the frozen nature, like strawberries. We have a woman here in our area that comes up from Florida. They have a farm down in Florida, and they travel up with berries every week, and, you know, oranges and things along that lines. And she's usually done by the 1st of March. And so, you know, usually during that time, I'll go get those fresh strawberries because they're so good. They're so delicious fresh. And then unfortunately, sometimes the supermarket variety after that point is just, they just so untasty. they just don't have that great taste to it. But I've gone to frozen strawberries and frozen blueberries and things along that lines, and I'm glad to hear you say that, because I think that's such a great way to get that great tasting fruit, but not necessarily in a fresh way.
For sure. Yeah, those can absolutely play a really important role in our diet. And, you know, as you were talking, I was trying to think through more kind of cheap, good proteins. And one obvious one that I forgot is eggs. I know we can't get our hands on a ton of them right now necessarily, but that's just something to think about. I mean, I think people think about protein and think, oh, I have to have a chicken breast or a steak, you know, or salmon. But eggs are a really great cheap protein. So that I just wanted to make sure I threw that out there too. But one other point around the frozen foods and just keeping foods is there are a ton of really great resources out there, especially on like eatright.org, which is the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. And I'm sure lots of other sites about how to freeze food appropriately and how long things last. And that can be really helpful in terms of stretching your dollar too. Right. So I would encourage people to look at some of those resources in terms of, you know, how long do things last and what can I freeze? You know, if something's going bad soon, maybe you can use it up in something that then you freeze, or maybe you can freeze that food itself. So that can be really helpful as in terms of this time frame of trying to stretch our dollar and make sure that we're not wasteful around food. There's a ton of good resources out there to help people through that too.
Now, I saw something on Twitter the other day and I had to retweet it because it was just so relatable. It said, I need to practice social distancing from my refrigerator. And just, you know, during this time where there's a lot of uncertainty, we don't know when businesses are going to get back up and running. We don't know when we're going to be able to play soccer again. Obviously, there's a component in there of stress eating. What steps can we take to help us along in not going down that road?
Yeah, that's a totally fair question. And I think, you know, you kind of have to find the happy medium of we don't need to be perfect. You know, it's a stressful time. There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknowns, and it's natural that maybe right now when we're at home more, we're going to snack a little bit more or, you know, have that fun food that kind of comforts us. And I don't think people should be too fearful of that. We're human. So I don't want anyone to feel like, oh my gosh, you know, I had those chips that I wouldn't normally have. I'm being so bad. We definitely shouldn't feel like that. But to your point, I mean, definitely we don't want to go too crazy with the grazing all day because it can add up and could put us kind of, you know, set us back a little bit in terms of maybe goals we have around body composition, around fitness goals and things like that. So what I have really encouraged our athletes to do is try to stick with a routine. We've been talking about that almost nonstop, it seems like, in these first couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. It's so easy, you know, when you're at home and you don't have necessarily a reason to set your alarm and a lot of structure. I mean, athletes' lives just tend to be very structured from the time we're young all the way through competitive play. So we have really encouraged our athletes to try to stick to a schedule. You know, make sure you're getting your 7 to 9 hours of sleep and think about, okay, if I'm going to go to bed or, you know, if I need to wake up at 8, when does that mean I need to go to bed? Start there and then kind of map out your day. Doesn't mean it has to be rigid, but, you know, stick to a schedule, get up in the morning, take a shower, put on real clothes. Let's not do PJs all day, every day. And from there, you know, find your time to work out, whatever that means for you right now, whether it's going on a run, whether it's doing yoga or body weight exercises, figure out when you're going to do your classes, because most of our athletes are still in online classes of some variety. And then around that, there should be meal times, just like normal. You know, so make sure you work in breakfast, lunch, dinner, and there's probably going to be a couple snacks, and that's perfect. So I think the schedule piece of that makes a big impact. And then from there, if people are still struggling with having some of those items around, I mean, some kind of simple tricks you could try would be, if you do want to have the snack, you know, portion some out, you know, pour whatever portion in a bowl and put the bag away, put it up versus kind of the mindless just snacking out of the bag or out of the box that promotes maybe not paying attention to how much we're eating. And then kind of similar to that would just be, if you're going to have a snack or a meal, whatever it is, sit down and have the meal or snack and kind of make that the focus of that activity versus like I said, sitting down the box next to your computer or while you're watching the movie or whatever. And that's when we tend to just kind of graze and not really pay attention, that mindless eating. So if people can be kind of mindful around it, I think that can make a big difference.
And, you know, you bring up such a great point of schedules being off. And my son, he's a competitive college swimmer. He's a freshman this year. And obviously all his stuff is now online. He's home for the foreseeable future. And my daughter's a high school senior and going to be going on to play college soccer next fall. And with their schedules, you know, not my daughter doesn't necessarily have any quote unquote live classes anymore. My son does have one. Unfortunately, it's his 8 a.m. class on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. He's not too happy about it, but I told him it is what it is. But, right. You know, obviously we're dealing with such whacked out schedules of, you know, getting up later, going to bed late. Do you see issues with athletes? I mean, like, I know my kids, they seem to, when they get into this situation, especially during the summertime, they go down to maybe two meals a day as opposed to three meals a day. And you know, if there's a, you know, a snack or two in there too. I mean, do you see an issue with that for these athletes?
I would say probably not too much of an issue. You know, I think it's really great if you can stay kind of on a schedule of that three or so meals a day and maybe a snack or two. With that said, though, I think we also need to honor hunger cues, you know. So if athletes are just really feeling less hungry because they're doing less activity, that's a natural response. And so what I wouldn't want to promote is, well, you need to eat because we're sticking to our schedule and, you know, and promote eating when we're not hungry. So I think if they can have the schedule, if they're up at a decent hour and presuming that they're not going to bed super early, then I think it's reasonable to try to aim for that few meals and or snacks a day to still eat regularly, because eating regularly, you know, every 3 to 4 hours or maybe even every 4 to 5 hours in a time frame right now, helps with a lot of things. It helps keep energy levels up. It helps keep focus up, you know, when they're doing this online learning platform. It helps promote muscle synthesis and, you know, promotes a good body composition, keeps your metabolism running. So I'm a really big proponent of eating frequently and not getting those meals too spaced out. But with that said, I think it's important to honor hunger cues. And if our athletes are just not as hungry, that's, again, a natural response because they're just not doing as much. So maybe it does look a little bit different depending on the athlete and just their activity levels.
One thing I think that goes overlooked from a nutritional standpoint, I've always believed in this and always harped on this with my kids, is hydration. Such an important part of the nutrition component. What are you telling your athletes? I mean, I know it's hard when you're less active to drink the water, to get foods that are high in water, content in water, to be able to stay hydrated. What are the recommendations, suggestions you're making?
Yeah, so I think it's still definitely important. You know, hydration is important always, not just when it's, you know, 100 degrees and humid outside and we're playing. So I think definitely it should still be kind of a goal for a lot of our athletes. Do they need to go crazy with it, you know, and be peeing every 20 minutes? No, probably not. The reality is that they're probably not sweating nearly as much. So I think for a time frame right now where they're really not as active, probably most of the time their thirst cues are probably going to have them covered. But I think it's still a good goal to, you know, try to make an effort. Maybe it's a goal of having a glass of water in the morning, you know, especially if they're just studying and they're sitting there and not really thinking about drinking water. So it could be that, it could be making sure they have a glass after they finish whatever kind of workout they're doing. I think it's still good to have goals around including the water. But do I think it's necessary to probably, you know, really hammer home right now? Probably not. I think one of the biggest kind of positives that people could do is recognizing, you know, if you're not sweating as much, which is probably the reality for a lot of athletes right now, would be that water probably will do just fine versus the sports drinks and some of that stuff that maybe we rely on when we are sweating a lot more and we're out in the heat and so forth. If we're really not sweating profusely or, you know, sweating very much at all, probably don't need to rely on those sports drinks much, if at all, right now. So that might be a positive change that athletes could make right now. You know, we hammer electrolytes all the time and making sure that they're covering their bases there. But the reality is, if they're not sweating to the full extent that they would normally, then water might just be exactly what they need. So I don't know if that totally answered your question, but
yeah, I think it did. Now, before we wrap things up, Lauren, if you could just give one piece of advice, leave our members with one thing to remember about nutrition during this time, what would that be?
That's a good question. I think I would probably just come back to that idea of balance. Because I think that idea applies a lot of different ways. You know, we should be balancing our plate with the different macronutrients. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfectly into thirds or fourths or whatever. But do we have a protein on the plate? Do we have a carbohydrate? Do we have some fruit or a veggie? That's a really good start right there. If we have all of those bases covered, that's awesome. I think balance can apply to just fun foods and healthy foods. You know, there needs to be a healthy balance of some of those fun foods being in our diet and not feeling like we can't include any of those right now because we're not practicing and playing games the same way. There should be a healthy balance of some of those fun foods working their way into our diet. Balance of your routine. I mean, I think it can just really kind of span across a lot of different thought processes right now in this time. So I think that would be my biggest message is try to aim for that balance.
I think that's great advice. Lauren, obviously I discovered you on Twitter. If someone wanted to, I think you're a great follow. If somebody wanted to find out more about you and all the things that you're posting on Twitter and social media, where can they find you? And also too, about your book, where can they find all that information?
Yeah, sure. So on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, I'm at Link2Nutrition. And as far as the book, you can find information on that at thehealthyformerathlete.com or just by searching The Healthy Former Athlete on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, some of those standard book sites. You'll find it populate there. So, yeah, I would definitely say if there are any athletes out there who are dealing with maybe finishing their careers or their season unexpectedly, I think the book could be a really great resource for them. I always feel it's a really hard transition anyway to transition out of sport. It's an area that I'm passionate about. And so my heart has just been aching for some of these seniors and people who had their seasons and careers, maybe in some cases cut short unexpectedly. I think it's just a really hard kind of pill to swallow. So I would love for athletes who are in that situation to check out The Healthy Former Athlete. Cause I think it's a good resource and one of the very few resources out there.
Well, we'll make sure to link to it so that folks can check it out and purchase it. And like you said, it's a tough time for a lot of our athletes. We certainly understand what they're going through, and some we don't understand, you know, because we're not in their shoes. You know, we look to try to be as positive and as encouraging as we can. And I certainly appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you for listening to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. Now that you've heard our show, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next Thursday with another episode, so hopefully we'll see you next week. Take care.